Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. This week marks 25 years since the premiere of Friends. The show was co-written by David Crane and Marta Kaufman. Kevin Bright was executive producer and directed 60 episodes of the show. Bright lives part of the year in Boston and has taught at Emerson College. We spoke with him at the Emerson Majestic Colonial Theater earlier this week, sitting on a replica of that famous Central Perk couch. We began by talking about areas where the show broke real ground, like having the first televised lesbian wedding.
You know, nothing makes God happier than when two people, any two people, come together in love. Friends, family, we're gathered here today to join Carol and Susan in holy matrimony.
Oh my God. Now I've seen everything.
It's interesting. I was talking about this the other day. I think if we were to do that today for the first time and one hadn't been done yet, it would be a very different reaction, because what was interesting about the time we did it, it was all about, really, about Ross's situation, that his wife was now making, his ex-wife was making it official with her lesbian lover. That's what the story, the Friends fans were invested in. Not that, oh my God, two women are getting married on television. The world is going to hell in a handbasket. So I think we tried to do a lot of things in subtle ways, but all of these things were very real and with the realm of all of our experience.
I'm listening to you and I'm thinking, is that part of the reason that people connected with the show so deeply? Whatever issue the show tackled, whatever events were happening, they all came back to the real personal experiences of those six characters.
I think that's right, and I think that was able to happen because the show never really took a political point of view. We weren't about looking at current events. I mean, even after 9/11 happened, we subtly acknowledged it within the set in several different ways. We had an audience come in from New York and see the show that week. But we didn't make it like, oh, the Friends are bummed out because 9/11 just happened. I mean, that just wouldn't really fit into our storyline.
Your co-creator, Marta Kaufman, once essentially said that the show, part of the success of the show is that it reflects a time in your life when your friends really are your family.
No one has been more like a sister to me. I know what you mean. You're like a sister to me, too. I don't know what I'm gonna do without you.
There have been uncomfortable recounts and reflections of the show as well. For example, people talk about it as being a very white show. Also a show with a lot of gay jokes. There's even like a 50-minute long YouTube montage of gay jokes.
I've missed that one. I haven't caught that yet.
So how do you think about those pieces of the show now, 25 years later, when the world has changed?
Well, you know, it's very difficult to look at something that was made 25 years ago through today's lens. So much has changed. But in terms of the race question, at least, it wasn't something that people were really commenting on being wrong with the show. It wasn't like there was something missing, but it was something to criticize the show. It wasn't, you know, it was mainly comedians making jokes about what was the content of the show. But I think if we were doing it through today's lens, I think we would be making a greater effort to have greater inclusivity on the show and in the casting. But on the other hand, there are some things you just don't know. I remember one of the things that shocked me when we did Friends, and this happened at the time, is the episode where it was suggested that there was a rumor about Rachel and she was a hermaphrodite. And so we thought, at the time, you know, gee, you're not going to get any complaints about that. But several people wrote us and said they were very hurt by the episode. And so we got a different perspective about making jokes about things you think are obscure, but are really part of people's daily lives and can be very hurtful.
Over the years, there were some controversies on the set. There was a lawsuit at one point by one of the women writers. How would you
She was not a writer. She was a writer's assistant.
Thank you for the correction. How would you characterize the set? And are there things that happened on the set that would happen differently today in shooting a show?
Absolutely. I would say, during the time we were making Friends, Hollywood was a pretty touchy-feely place, and not in a creepy way, but, I think about it when, if you do a show for 10 years, and literally you're spending more time with these people than you're spending with your family, they become like your family. So the characterization of some of the touchy-feely stuff being just, overboard and imposed by men wanting to, that wasn't our set, at least, anyhow. I think that and today, everything is different. I mean, I posed for pictures yesterday with a bunch of students. And yeah, I did in my mind think about, okay, do I put my arms around them? Is it around the shoulder? Is it around a waist? Do I keep them at my side? And, these things are important, and people's feelings are always important. And if somebody said to me, I don't like your hand there, I wouldn't have a problem with that whatsoever. But I am going to be 65 in November, and I've been a certain way for my entire life, and I consider that to be just warm and embracing, and if it offends anybody, then I'll immediately be aware of it and never do that again.
We don't have a lot of stories today of a group of women and a group of men who are friends across gender, sort of same age, friendship as equals.
Joey had an imaginary childhood friend. His name was...
Maurice!
Correct. His profession was...
Oh, Space Cowboy!
Correct! What is Chandler Bing's job?
Oh, gosh! Is that something to do with numbers? And processing! And he carries a briefcase!
10 seconds. You need this or you lose the game.
It has something to do with transponding. He's a transponster!
If stories like Sex and the City, for example, that put the women in the women's camp and the men in the men's camp, change the way we talk about friendship? And is that to the worse, maybe?
Well, I think what's the biggest problem we face is lack of personal contact. When I wanted to see my friends or communicate with them, I went over to their house.
Or we're sitting on a replica of the couch
sure.
of Central Perk, where they all would
yeah.
come sit down together and
exactly.
have coffee.
Exactly, or we'd meet someplace. We'd meet at a playground. And now you don't have to go anywhere. If I want to talk to my friend, I just pick up my phone and I text something. So something is missing when that personal contact is being removed. And I think that's the greatest challenge to people, to men and women and their relationships. There's just a lot that's being managed for us, and I think we have to get in and wrestle back control of our relationships.
So as you say that, I wonder, could you make this show today? And if you could, are there things you would want to do differently or have to do differently than you did them in 1994?
I would think that there are many things we would have to do differently if we were making the show today. And I don't know. There was, just imagining them sitting in the coffee shop and being preoccupied with their phones just puts a very dismal vision of the show. I think maybe it is a show of its time, and maybe that's what people continue to grab onto with it, is just that you want that human contact.
It's funny, again, sitting on this couch, which is a replica of the couch from Central Perk, it feels like a social space. Like, I guess I could see sitting back and just checking Twitter. And it's a nice couch, by the way.
Yes.
Nice,
well,
soft orange.
It's a much nicer couch than the original one, which we found in a thrift store before the pilot. And it had holes in it, and the springs were horrible. So this is a much better experience.
Let me tell you about a couple things I learned while working at the coffee house. First of all, the customer is always right. A smile goes a long way. And if anyone is ever rude to you, sneeze muffin.
Joey, seriously, can I get my coffee? I'm sorry, Ross. I'll get it for you right now. And since I made you wait, I'll toss in a free muffin.
So do you see the influence of Friends in other programming now, 25 years later? Are there threads or through lines that you can see in what's come since then where you say, hey, that's our legacy, that's our influence?
Yeah, I think you saw our influence in shows like How I Met Your Mother, and I think in a different way, Big Bang Theory, I think those have been influenced by us. But television has gotten so much bolder. The palette available for stories is so much broader now than we were dealing with Friends. We had a fight in one episode to have a condom in one of the actors' hands, but it had to be covered up by the thumb because you couldn't really want to see it's a condom. You want to just see, you know, we couldn't say the word condom, you know, and now look where we are now. So I think that, you know, some of the things that we did by pushing gently against the envelope have now blown the envelope open.
That's Kevin Bright. He's a television producer and was executive producer and a director of Friends. He's also an Emerson alumnus. Kevin, thank you.
Thank you. So no one told you life was gonna be this way. Your job's a joke, you broke. You love life's DOA. It's like you're on.